Hi, I'm Tom Rogers, president of the Qigong Institute. Today, we're going to talk about the 200-hour Qigong and Tai Chi teacher certification with Dr. Roger Yonka. Dr. Yonka is president of Health Action Synergies. He's a founding board member of the National Qigong Association and co-founder of the Healer Within Foundation, and was among the earliest of the pioneering experts in Asian medicine to become licensed in the United States. Dr. Yonka has traveled to China 8 times to research Qigong and Tai Chi. He's the author of 2 widely respected, best-selling books on energy medicine and mind-body energetics, The Healer Within and The Healing Promise of Qi. He's also the director of the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, which has trained over 300 Tai Chi and Qigong teachers and over 500 Tai Chi easy practice leaders who work in schools, hospitals, spas, faith institutions, corporations, social service agencies, and the military. And in addition, with the Healer Within Foundation, he's directing a nationwide Tai Chi dissemination project that operates under the mantra, "We train thousands to inspire millions to heal themselves for free." So that's a good segue into our topic of 200-hour Qigong and Tai Chi certification. So, Roger, can you give us a little bit of background on that?
Yeah, Tom, thank you so much. And I really want to take a moment to appreciate you for all the great work that you're doing through the Qigong Institute. And as one of the graduates of the 200-hour program at the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, of course, we take pride in the fact that you are making a difference and helping to integrate Qigong and Tai Chi into the Western world. So thank you, Tom. And then on to this question, you know, in the traditional context, teachers of Qigong and Tai Chi are very highly refined individuals who come through typically a lineage, a school, or a family. And the level of rigor that's associated with that kind of training can take years, in fact, decades. And here in the Western world, one of the things that has become very clear is that Qigong and Tai Chi are actually very powerful healing arts. And we happen to have a healthcare system which is deconstructing, and in fact, the entire society is deconstructing under the weight of the healthcare system. And some people like to say, oh, you know, our society is deconstructing because cheaters in finance, and of course there have been some, and our culture is deconstructing because we fund these wars in foreign countries. And of course, I'm a peace person myself, but the cost of those wars and the cost of the financing debacles that we've experienced are no more expensive. In fact, the military thing is quite a bit less expensive than healthcare every year. And so there's a lot of pressure right now on the whole question of, can you train a person to be a teacher? And that's the 200-hour level of certification. And this is in accord with the National Qigong Association, which has been in existence for 15 years and done a lot of really excellent research on the number of hours required to create a, shall we say, a responsible teacher. And so the difference between decades to train a teacher and 200 hours to train a teacher is huge. And so what gets lost and what gets gained? Well, what gets gained is that we as a society can move ahead with disseminating Qigong and Tai Chi widely as a response to the terrible tragedy that's happening in healthcare. And that's a big, big plus. What gets lost, actually, my personal view, is that nothing gets lost. Because what happens when you train a person to be a teacher in 200 hours, the people who really get it study how to practice and how to teach for the rest of their lives. And so they put in their years and then finally their decades and then finally an entire life because that's what happens to people who become swept up into the power of Qigong and Tai Chi, is that they may come in through an entry gate that's a little less than what traditionally would be required in China, but because of the nature of the Qi and because of the nature of personal potential maximization and because of the intrigue that's associated with being a part of something very, very powerful in our society, most people who study for 200 hours and actually where it sticks and they really get it, they do this for the rest of their lives. So, in fact, nothing gets lost because people who really care still really care. And, in fact, it opens a wider gate so that more people can get in. The big problem in China was that out of an entire family of people, only one person inherits the lineage position, and it makes the whole thing very cumbersome and, well, certainly not, and nowhere near democratic, and that's what we're working on here in the Western world, is the whole concept of democratizing access to the power to heal yourself so that we can get off of this terrible crisis that has to do with believing that the only healing that exists comes from experts that really can't even know us very well. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that you've kind of hit the nail on the head with regard to the healthcare system, because it's oriented more towards trying to plug the hole after it's been created and trying to help people once they've actually exhibited their illness. And certainly we need that because of chronic illness. Chronic illness is huge. The Western medical system doesn't work with chronic problems very well. So having a solution like Qigong and Tai Chi is great for that. But more importantly, you have to look at the prevention part of it. And I think that people need to get an awareness of that.
And then, you know, what happens after that, just as the history goes on, is that at one point it became clear to a whole cadre of very, very important people that even 200 hours is a little bit more than most communities can afford. So if you're going to say for a corporation, for a school system, for a social service agency, for the military, et cetera, is there a way to be able to create a wider gate, open the door even wider, knowing that the people who become the most interested actually follow these practices for the rest of their lives, to ask the question, and this is how it worked, how this particular part of it worked, was that we received a grant, or actually the Healer Within Foundation received a grant from the National Council on Aging to do a study in which we had a very large number of people, a good high N, as they say, in research, meaning that the findings were compelling. And what we found in that study was that people who took a very simple, brief introductory course to Qigong or Tai Chi from someone who was not super-duper highly trained gained a lot. And in fact, statistics were that 89% of the people who came to these classes thought that they were a real contribution to their lives. However, 91% of people who came to these classes said they would do it again, meaning that there were actually 2% of people who came who might have said, well, that wasn't my favorite thing, but I'm going to do it anyway because of the fact that it is contributing to my well-being. And so that finding was very exciting to a group of individuals, which included the National Council on Aging, the YMCA. I know you've got a list.
Yeah, there were a lot of people. So what we're really talking about is the genesis of the National Expert Meeting, and that was started by this organization called the Active Aging Partnership that has this blueprint, and they put out these findings in the terms of consensus reports, and what they're oriented towards is increasing physical activity among adults age 50 and older. And We mentioned that, but I mean, this is good for anybody, but these organizations recognize it in particular for people who are older. And the main organizations in this included AARP and American College of Sports Medicine and American Geriatric Society, CDC, you mentioned NCOA, and National Institute on Aging. And then there's hundreds of, and even almost thousands of individuals and other organizations that got involved in this and supported this. And out of this came the National Expert Meeting, which you helped make happen.
Yeah, and actually the grant for that came from the Archstone Foundation in California, but the grant was actually procured by the University of Illinois. And so it was a really a very widespread, shall we say, group of important organizations in the realm of health and well-being. That would be the YMCA and so forth. The research community, that would be the University of Illinois and all the other universities that sent representatives to participate, University of Arizona, University of California, and more. And so this is a very, very impressive event. And what was determined, basically the question that was answered was, would it be safe to have a briefer training of as little as 25 hours to train what we call not a teacher but a practice leader? And we're basically, our conversation here today is to look at how important it is to have 200 hours of training. But I think, you know, the credibility of the National Expert Meeting on Qigong and Tai Chi, which, by the way, if you want to look this up on the web, you put in National Expert Meeting on Qigong and Tai Chi, and then you can add the word consensus report, and it'll take you right to the consensus findings of this extremely important national meeting. So the challenge, though, is can a person with 25 hours of training really be teaching, you know, what would traditionally be called Tai Chi? And the answer is no. And can a person with 25 hours of training teach modified forms of Qigong and Tai Chi up to a standard that would be called a teacher? And the answer is no. So what this means is that the society has, in a kind of brilliance, this is my personal view, a brilliant insight on the part of the expert meeting was to create entry portals, to open a wider gate, create entry portals for people, average citizens, to be able to access a little bit of Qigong and Tai Chi, and then recognize that those individuals that really, I'm going to put in quotes, get it, the people who really get it are going to seek additional information, and that the practice leaders who have the minimal amount of training are also going to be inspired to get more training. So the concept is to load the, just kind of load the whole domain with people who will progress in their own way. And because Qigong and Tai Chi are so benign, it would be almost impossible for a person who didn't know 200 hours worth of training to actually hurt someone, because there's no, you don't touch them, you don't correct them by moving body parts. Everything about Qigong and Tai Chi is very, very gentle and, well, frankly, very soothing to the human being. And so it's not like they're going too fast is going to hurt or going too far is going to hurt. So there's really no way that anyone can be hurt. But the power of the 200 hours, and by the way, for here at the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, a person who trains people to be practice leaders in a 25-hour training must have 200 hours of training. So the people who are training, the people who are going to be in a 25-hour course, are bona fide teachers with 200 hours of training. So, you know, what is your thought, Tom, in terms of, like, the relationship between this 25-hour, 200-hour, and what are, you know, because you talk to lots of people through the Qigong Institute, what are your feelings about the necessity or the, maybe it's not a necessity, but the sort of likelihood that the 200 hours has real meaning and is worthy of pursuit by those who are listening to this podcast, who are wondering, you know, what they want to do in terms of their own profession going forward?
Well, that's sort of a lot of questions. First of all, I think it's important just to step back a bit and see what the big picture is, and you've already talked about it a bit, and that is that you want to be able to scale taking Qigong and Tai Chi to large populations because there's a huge amount of health benefit there, and if we can cut down our $3 trillion to, say, $2 trillion, that's huge. I mean, the savings are absolutely magnificent in terms of doing prevention of illness instead of waiting until something's happened. So from a societal standpoint, I think scaling this to large populations is key, and you can't do that with people who are highly trained because there's not enough of them. So you have to relax your standards a bit in terms of your teaching, your qualities of the teacher. You have to relax that a bit in order for people just to be able to get this information out there. And I think that's key. Going to the 200-hour thing, I think you're going to talk about that more in a bit, but the 200 hours is it's a professional level of teaching. And the decision that you make for going for 200 hours is, okay, do I want to maybe change my career? Is this going to be a new thing that I'm going to offer along with my yoga? I'm going to be starting to offer Qigong and Tai Chi, and they complement each other really well. So that would be a great idea. I think it would be interesting probably to step back just a tad bit, and maybe you could talk about Tai Chi Easy a little bit and how and what goes on in the 25 hours, and that would give us kind of a background for when we go and talk about what's really involved with the 200 hours.
The Tai Chi Easy program was developed specifically to fulfill on the findings of the consensus report of the National Expert Meeting. At the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, we have two, well, more than two, but two that I'll mention right now, really highly refined, shall we say, points of view regarding Qigong and Tai Chi in the modern world. The first one is that the principles that have been refined again and again and again over thousands of years from China are, they're golden. They are held as the highest standard. So as we go to point two, which is that it's necessary for Qigong and Tai Chi to adapt to situations over thousands of years, including Imperial China, including previous to Imperial China, we could call it Shamanic China, including what's going on in the Western world now as Qigong and Tai Chi are recognized as power tools for preventing chronic disease. It's important for us here at the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi to craft anything that is going to be a part of what we present to the public with both of these things in mind. So in other words, we do not sacrifice archetypal, ancient, revered principle to create contemporary programs. Contemporary programs are based on those principles that are so highly revered. And so with that stated, Tai Chi Easy is a 25-hour training to become a Tai Chi Easy practice leader. Most of the people who go through this program are either doing it as a first step towards their 200-hour training, and we can talk later about how that works when we talk about the 200 hours. And the other is most of the people are actually working for a nonprofit or some sort of social service agency to be able to, they're being paid to come to the training by the agency that they work for. It could be perhaps a school system or a church or a hospital, but in most cases, the Tai Chi Easy program is really being, shall we say, picked up the most by the social service agencies in service of populations that are typically underserved or would not otherwise have access to Qigong and Tai Chi. And the training, basically, while it is called Tai Chi, is actually focused not so much on Tai Chi, the martial art from China, or what is called Tai Chi Chuan, but it's focused more on the concept from Chinese philosophy of Tai Chi, which means to bring harmony and balance to mutually opposing opposite forces. And a mutually opposing opposite force would be, say, for instance, your sleep and your wakefulness. Another mutually beneficial opposing force would be the parasympathetic and the sympathetic aspects of the autonomic nervous system. So much of what life is about is based on the whole concept of bringing into balance aspects of our lives which tend to be mutually interactive opposing forces. So that would be, for instance, going, you know, really going, like in running and working hard and, you know, contacting lots of people. And then as the mutually beneficial opposing force, stopping, which has to do with things like taking a rest, meditating, spending time in nature, and so forth. So that's the definition of Tai Chi. And then the word easy means what everybody loves, to make something that's a fairly big deal into something simple. And so Tai Chi Easy is creating balance in your life made easy. And
it's also creating a way to learn the fundamentals of Tai Chi and Qigong so that nothing's really lost, and yet people are able to fully understand where these particular arts are coming from, and they're able to convey them to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Everything based on the principles. So, for instance, the principles of Tai Chi, which in its longest form as a martial art or even as a health-oriented practice that originates from a martial art, instead of having 108 movements, Tai Chi Easy has 5 Tai Chi movements. And however, those Tai Chi movements, those 5 Tai Chi movements include all of the classic principles of sinking and rising, what's called the Tai Chi pole, which has to do with connecting between heaven and earth, expanding, the whole concept of expanding and relaxing, and everything being connected. So there's a whole concept in Tai Chi of each movement arising from the movement before in a very gentle, flowing, ongoing sequence, which is a beautiful experience for the learner, because what it does to the brain is so important. So brain plasticity and all. So the Tai Chi Easy program actually includes a little Tai Chi and a little Qigong, which basically derives from the Buzhong Qigong from China, which is also called a kind of very, very easy to apply self-implemented medical Qigong. And it puts those two, a little Tai Chi and a little Qigong, into a training program that we can then train practice leaders to go back to their community and train people to do. And most of it is done in a very, very, very simplistic sort of way, based on the idea of relaxation of the body, adjusting the posture, understanding the power of the breath, and beginning to enter into a whole process of, I don't want to say mind control, but using the mind purposefully. And that can all be trained into a practice leader in 25 hours and then delivered in populations, large populations of people who are working, who are being served by social service or the military, et cetera.
So people can take this 25 hours and absolutely learn the basics of Qigong and Tai Chi and then take that out into the community. And the 25 hours, especially with the IIQTC, forms a basis for going on to the 200 hours. So it'd be really interesting to have you talk a little bit about where does 200 come from? Why isn't it 500, or why isn't it 1,000, or what's magic about the number 200?
What we found, and I think that this was actually duplicated by numerous other people who have had an interest in this whole concept of mind-body practice. So this would include the yoga community, which also has adhered to a 200-hour standard, and then the Yoga Alliance, which is the National Professional Membership Association for Yoga, and then the National Qigong Association. And all these organizations have had teams of subcommittees of people who really care and who really pay attention to these kinds of things, who have looked at this very closely. And I know from being a founder of the National Qigong Association and then being involved in the process there, which is basically at the NQA, the question was asked, to become a professional member, how many hours of training are required? And the answer was 200. Now, to a certain extent, that number was taken from other organizations like the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, where we had made that decision on a curriculum level. So the training organization, Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, determined 200 hours. Then the national membership organization picked that number up, and through a rigorous process through their own membership committee, determined that 200 hours was a power number, and then that matches with what happened at the Yoga Alliance and so forth. Now, any training organization that trains people for 200 hours is always going to be, just like any other profession here in the Western world, looking at, number one, did you do your base training? But then they're going to be looking, number two, at do you continue to both teach and gain more information? So there's a whole continuing education aspect. The National Qigong National Qigong Association has its annual conference. And as things develop over time, these organizations, there's another one I'm going to be presenting at another organization called the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology, which has a strong energy medicine component. These organizations will eventually begin to cross-reference each other, and their continuing education will contribute to the sustaining of the highest levels of professionalism, I guess you would say, in the Qigong and Tai Chi community.
So there's
did I answer your question?
Well, yeah. So there's a There's a component of continuing education, and that makes a lot of sense. And then there's 200 hours, which corresponds to other professional organizations like those involved with yoga. So 200 hours is a fair amount of time, and you've divided that up into levels 1, 2, and 3. Can you just sort of go through those levels a little bit to give people an idea about what information is conveyed and what practices you do?
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom. And I think this would be fairly typical of any organization who is, in the process of, being a part of how this profession is making its way into the Western world, is that, well, first of all, the three levels, levels 1, 2, and 3, are each composed of 7 days, and those are intensive training days. And the total per level comes out to between 60 and 62 hours. So 3 times 60 gives you 180. And so one of the things that people ask is, well, wait a minute, that's not 200 hours. How do I finish my 200 hours? Well, many of the people who come to level 1 have already been through Tai Chi Easy. So we contribute those hours to their completion, and there are other ways to do the completion. So it is not necessary for a person to come through the practice leader, the 25-hour practice leader training, to be qualified and certified as a 200-hour teacher training graduate.
So there's no real prerequisites. People can just do it, essentially.
Most of the people who come to our level 1 are either somewhat informed and oriented to Qigong and Tai Chi. Some of them are actually already professionals, but that what they're looking for is to be able to learn more about how to be a teacher, and of course to have the credibility of graduating from an organization that has generated a certain amount of credibility here in this country. But then there's another percentage, and I wouldn't know how to put a number on it. Let's just say a third of the people who come to this 200-hour teacher training who are really pretty darn fresh. In other words, the answer to the question, is there a prerequisite to getting into this training at level 1? The answer is no. And we have, I'll give a couple of examples. One of our graduates is a former pretty high-up executive. Another of our graduates is someone who is very involved in the international development. We've trained medical doctors, we've trained chiropractors, nurses, people who are in the healthcare field, but then we've also trained people who are former insurance. Another one of our graduates is a former health insurance broker from Texas. So the point is that there is no prerequisite, and I would just say, as an expert in this, having been involved for 40 years, that some of the most incredible teachers are people who do not come from healthcare backgrounds and people who do not come from traditional Tai Chi and Qigong backgrounds, though some do. So it's really a powerful wide array of different kinds of entry points that people come in from. So then you were saying, what about level 1, 2, 3? So let me just describe a little bit about that. We start at level 1 with that whole 7 days is focused on Qigong. And so we train people in a multitude of different forms of Qigong, as well as a wide array of theoretical, everything from the philosophy of Chinese, from the Chinese culture, Chinese medicine, and so forth, including the physiology from the Western world, and then also including educational theory. So in other words, we're teaching people not just about Qigong and how to be a practitioner of Qigong, but we are teaching people about how to be a teacher. And in addition, we've really found over the years that it's a leadership training. So it's a training in the forms of Qigong. It's training in the theory and practice of Qigong, but then it's also a leadership training, which is to develop the virtues and capacities of a community leader, and then, of course, a thorough training in the whole idea of, well, what is a teacher? What does a teacher do that's different than a person who's just practicing these things? And it has a lot to do with presentation skills. It has a lot to do with languaging. We focus a lot on the whole idea that if you're going to bring something to your community that's based on an ancient Chinese point of view, how can you language that so that if you're going to, let's say, for instance, the high school, and you're going to be teaching teachers, or if you're going to be going to a church and working with people of particular religious denomination, or if you're going to be going to a hospital and talking to people from the perspective of particular kinds of diseases, the winning formula for how to get the contract to be able to provide these services isn't how much do you know about Chinese medicine or Chinese philosophy. It's how much do you know about how to talk to this particular population. And it's a very, very highly refined process that goes on in the mind of a teacher who's graduated from one of these programs. Because for the 25-hour program that we were talking about earlier, those people are going to be talking to the people that they talk to all the time. So it's going to be teachers talking to teachers. It's going to be social service people talking to social service constituencies. And it's going to be health and wellness people in the military who talk to military people all the time. In the case of training a teacher, what we're talking about is training somebody who can go anywhere and give a presentation that will basically secure the contract for them and to have the job of being able to be a teacher wherever it is. And succeeding at fulfilling on that process of getting that contract has so much less to do with the knowledge of Chinese medicine and Chinese philosophy, though we teach that in very, very rich magnitudes. People get a lot of, trainees get a lot of exposure to that. But what I'm saying here is that we're also very carefully teaching people how to be in a leadership role in their community so that they can actually decide what to say to, you know, shall we say, present the idea of, I think you should hire me to teach this class in your agency or your YMCA or your spa or whatever it is.
And the amazing thing is that all that you just said is just in the first week, you know, and you've got two more weeks to go. So what happens in week two?
Well, in level two, which is usually quite a bit later, in other words, we encourage people to go back to their community and start teaching right away. So they've got about 65 hours of training, and they are equipped to be teaching in their community. When we get to level two, which is at least a couple of months later, and in some cases even more than a couple of months later, like 4 or 5 months later, it's Tai Chi. So we turn our attention now to Tai Chi. And we're reviewing everything from level one. So we want to be sure that every person who went through level one has really got everything from level one down and clear and useful, and they're articulate about it, and they understand the gestures and so forth. And then in level two, the curriculum, the new curriculum, is Tai Chi. And we teach, we train the trainees to teach Tai Chi easy, which most of the people who are in level one and level two have not gone through the Tai Chi easy training. Some have. And so we teach them how to put together a Tai Chi easy class, which includes a little from level one and a little from level two. And that's the five Tai Chi movements, which include all the traditional principles of Tai Chi. And then we also teach what's called integral Tai Chi, which is to add to those five movements another four movements. So it's a total of nine movements. And then probably more important than anything is that we teach, or shall we say train, the trainees to teach Tai Chi using what we call the integral Tai Chi teaching method. The integral Tai Chi teaching method is, well, it's a kind of secret sauce, actually, of the IIQTC. And the sort of endorsement that I can give for that is that we've had dozens of people come to our trainings who have been Tai Chi teachers in the past. And part of why they come to the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi is to get this very, very thorough training, and as well to get the 200-hour certification so that they can basically promote themselves as having had that 200-hour certification. But many of them who've taught Tai Chi in the past have said that the teaching, the way they teach Tai Chi after they've gone to level two, changes so completely that it actually sort of re-engineers how they're teaching Tai Chi. And the really cool thing that a bunch of people have said, and I love this because it's so confirming of the integral approach to things, is that learning the integral Tai Chi teaching method has actually changed how much money they're making, because of the fact that people come to their class and stay instead of coming to their class and realizing how complex Tai Chi is, finding that it's actually kind of stress-producing, and then deciding to not return to the class because they thought the Tai Chi was going to be so stress-easing. And traditional teaching methods of Tai Chi are actually kind of stress, can be kind of stress-producing. So that's level two. And then in level three, we go to what the Chinese call alchemy, or in Chinese, nei gong. And nei gong means, in the most simplistic sort of translation, inner work. But the true definition of inner work is to understand that within our own being is a place of observation for the true nature of things. And in ancient China, the observatory was called Guan, G-U-A-N, Guan. And training centers for Tai Chi and Qigong, which included the alchemy component that we're talking about now, were called Guan. They were later called, the word was translated to mean temple, and they were, you know, they became like Taoist temples. But originally, they were places in nature where an individual would spend time in radical observation of the nature of things. So you would go to a guan and look outward and observe, you know, trees, plants, butterflies, people, the nature of people, weather, everything externally, the stars, the planets moving. But then also, at that same location, one would turn inward. And so that inner observation of the nature of things, and of course, if you read into the literature, you find the Secret of the Golden Flower and the Book of Balance and Harmony and a whole array of texts from ancient China that are revealing of what Nei Gong or alchemy is. Another way to talk about alchemy is to, in the Western world, we think of alchemy, the golden elixir is an elixir that you take and then you live forever. It's like a drug you take and you live forever. And the original definition of alchemy in China was that you make an elixir within your own being. And by the way, the alchemy in the Western world, Paracelsus and the great alchemists were around the 13th and 14th century. whereas in China, the original alchemists were actually carrying on this discussion more than 1,000 years earlier. Now, I don't understand why, with the Silk Road, that more of this information didn't make it to Europe earlier, but that's just the statistics on it. The Chinese were talking about alchemy, inner alchemy, in the year zero and before, because after all, Lao Tzu, the great author of the Tao Te Ching, was talking about alchemy 500 years before the year zero. It's just an amazing, the whole thing is very amazing. So what happens in Chinese alchemy is that one cultivates a relationship with the aspect of their being that is incorruptible, the aspect of ourselves that cannot get sick and does not die. And so in level three, what we're talking about is taking Qigong in its sort of external form of an exercise and a stress management system and so forth, and then modifying that with Tai Chi and creating a whole process for brain plasticity, sustainability, and the process of retaining the flexibility of a younger person into one's older age. And by the way, it helps to really start as a younger person too. So Tai Chi is something that, you know, it's not just for older people. It's really so much better when it's initiated at a younger age.
I've had conversations with people recently about we should have it in the schools. I mean, they should be teaching it in kindergarten.
Yes, well, many of our graduates are, so that's happening, and it's going to be amazing at whatever point we, as a society, we stop and take a look at how much Tai Chi and Qigong has made it into social service and into education and into hospitals. But let's pick up on that in just a minute. Let me wrap this up with the 1, 2, 3, is that Tai Chi and Qigong all sit as the rock for what most people understand to be the life that they want to lead, being more flexible, being more well, sustaining their well-being, healthy longevity as opposed to just plain old longevity, which has to do with give me any drug, stay alive as long as I can, no matter how awful I feel. We're talking in this case about healthy longevity. And then we bring all of that to a kind of a crescendo by, in level three, realizing that what the Chinese were actually going after was the golden elixir. And we teach our teacher trainees to understand what alchemy means, or neigong means, and how to teach that. In most cases, when you're teaching Qigong and Tai Chi in the high school or the spa or the YMCA or the hospital, doesn't really go to the richness of what we teach people in level three. But it's important, I think, for a person who's a teacher going to make the claim, I am a Qigong and Tai Chi teacher, for them to be able to understand practical Qigong and Tai Chi, but also to understand the deep, rich, very, very, almost esoteric or transcendental world that the root of Qigong and Tai Chi taps into this whole idea of our eternal nature and a kind of lifestyle that has to do with recognizing that there's a part of ourselves that lives forever.
And so level three also is, in addition to going through the training that you're talking about, it also sort of reviews level one and level two, the Qigong and Tai Chi also, right?
Absolutely. We're always reviewing what came before. And of course, one of the other things that happens, Tom, and you're aware of this, is that when you engage in this kind of learning, we're not talking about regular learning. We're talking about learning a mind-body practice, learning to teach mind-body practice, taking on the role of a community leader and a thought leader, and then being with a group of people that typically these trainings have 20 to 30 people in them who are of like mind. And so we go into this rarefied territory with the idea of doing something important when we go back home to our own communities. And we're connecting with other people who are doing the same thing. And of course, to be a great Qigong and Tai Chi teacher, one will have a Qigong and Tai Chi practice. And so that means that these people of shared values that we're spending time with are also practitioners of these arts. And so it creates a pretty darn unique experience.
And there's one more component that you didn't mention, and there's a written component to this 200 hours?
Yeah, but the truth is that it's not a very impossible written component. In other words, it's super practical. And how that goes is in level three, people turn in two assignments. The first assignment is to write everything that would be required to get a job, basically, teaching Qigong or Tai Chi, either in a community center, a resource center, a senior center, maybe a retreat center, like an Esalen or an Omega. So what you do is you write a proposal that includes an outline for a class. It includes a description of the class for a catalog, and it includes a bio. So an outline, a description, and a bio, which then basically becomes a proposal. And many of the people who graduate from this course actually take that back home and expand their teaching schedule by making proposals to different organizations. Then the second thing is to write a paper on a topic of your choice. And so what that means is that you're not writing a paper on something you don't care about, which is something that happens in a lot of school assignments. You're writing a paper about something that you do care about. And that paper, we encourage people to write that in such a way that it can be published at some point with further work. So you're a great example, Tom. You wrote a very distinctive paper. It was excellent at the time that you wrote it, but then following on that, you actually continued to refine that paper, and it got published in a couple of places. So we try to have that paper be something that's of such interest that it's not a labor to write. It's more like a thrill to write it. And then with the idea that it could be the seed with further refining that could be published at least on the Internet. And in fact, we've published quite a few of the papers that people have done at the IIQTC.org website. And so you publish that on your own website, on other websites, as parts of a blog, or in hard media like magazines.
So I guess that pretty well covers what we wanted to talk about. Can you tell people how what would the next step be if they wanted to find out more about this?
Well, yes. The curriculum is actually listed at IIQTC.org. And so when you go to that website, a couple of the things that you want to check out is that on the left-hand navigation, there's a place where you can say, find a teacher. And if you click through there, you'll see the contacts for many of the people who have graduated from our program. And it's just sort of like, wow, there's a lot of those people, and it's just impressive to see where they are and how many of them there are. I've been just talking with one of the graduates through Facebook the other day who is in Brazil, who's actually taken portions of our training and is now flourishing as a teacher in Brazil. We've got graduates in Canada and even in Asia and, of course, in Europe. And then the other thing to check into there is the curriculum, and there are a number of clicks to get you to the curriculum, which describes everything. Of course, there are libraries there of information that you can click through to read some of the papers that I've written. There's also, I think should be mentioned at least, a section at that website which is called the Students and Graduates section, which you will not be able to get into unless you're enrolled with the IIQTC. It is a very thorough resource center for our graduates, which includes a lot of information on developing your business, which can be attributed to Tom Rogers, who is our host here today. And I want to thank you again and again, Tom, for that. And so that whole section that you will not be able to get into is a resource section. It's got PowerPoint slides and examples of brochures and so forth that we provide for our graduates. And then, of course, registration for our trainings and the calendar. Everything that we do public workshops as well as professional trainings. It's all on the calendar. And then, you know, you're encouraged to sign on to our email list where you will get announcements and other information about the things that we do. And feel free to call or send an email to the IIQTC headquarters to follow up on any questions that you may have. So we try to have a very thorough user experience for those of you who are interested in investigating what it's like to be a teacher. And typically, one other thing is IIQTC has a YouTube channel. So it's youtube.com/IIQTC. And the first thing that comes up there is a video, which is basically a bunch of our graduates at one of the trainings talking about the experience that they're having in our training system. So it's a very positive view, which is people who are at a level two talking about their experience of having been at level one and looking forward to going to level three and how they're going to apply it in their lives. Just as an example, one of the people there is a social worker from New York, family therapy. One of the people that you'll see talking there is a safety expert from the U.S. Postal Service. One of the people there is the dean of the music department at the University of Texas, who uses Tai Chi to help performers. It's just an amazing group of people. But thank you, Tom, for asking about that.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking your time to help us with this, Roger, and we hope that this podcast has provided some really helpful information for people who are interested in pursuing a career in teaching Qigong and Tai Chi, or potentially informally even bringing it into their communities. So thank you very much for telling us about this.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you to the Qigong Institute, which is a beacon of information about the mind-body practice, Qigong and Tai Chi, and a lot else that's arising in integrative medicine and energy medicine and so forth. So here's a bow to you, but also a bow to Ken Sancier, our fearless leader who developed the Qigong Institute in the first place.
The Qigong Institute has been promoting Qigong education research since 1984, thanks to Ken. So thanks for that acknowledgement.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. He's still alive, too.
Wow.
Great.
Thank you, Tom. Wish you well.
Thanks, Roger.